fantasy, sports, and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. 1 p.m. East Coast time. And no, this is not a mistake. Yes, you are listening to JTAK the Master. Vic is away, has things to do that pull him away from doing the show today. So instead of filling the co-host chair, I get bumped up, lucky me, on a Saturday afternoon. I get bumped up. It's a fine Saturday. You know, I'm sitting in the house here. And I'm not discounting it and I'm not disparaging it, but on one of the few days, and hopefully this becomes a growing trend, on one of the few days, especially on the weekends, that it's very enjoyable weather on the East Coast, as enjoyable as it can possibly be, because of the season it is. It's spring, okay? It's the early part of spring. But I think it's close to 50, if I'm not mistaken, already. Maybe getting higher than that. It's supposed to be like this, if I'm not mistaken, all weekend. Yeah, it's in the mid-50s right now. And I think it's supposed to get warmer. It's only 1 o'clock, so usually the peak of the day is around 3 o'clock, supposedly. So hopefully it climbs up a little more. But what I'm saying is this. It's a fine day. What I'm doing is spending a little bit of time with you. One way or the other, I would have been here. Whether Victor was here and I was co-hosting and he was hosting, or like today, I'm hosting the show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to only me, because I'm the only person here, and that's sponsored by, along with the show, was sponsored by the FantasySportsCasino.com website. And it's also the line you call in is the FantasySportsCasino.com hotline. We'll also have a chat room. The chat room is for your convenience to question, comment, make a statement, whatever you like. You can do it in that chat room. Just remember, and like I've always said on every show I host or whoever co-hosts with me, what you bring it in that chat room is what you're going to get out of it. So if you bring foul, you're going to get foul. You bring nice, you're going to get nice. That's what I'm saying. Okay? I'm going to try to bring in a guest a little later on in the show, probably around a half hour into the show, give or take. And see if we can talk a little boxing and the state of boxing, okay? But before that, as you know, this day, and it's down to 4. The 4 being the number 1 seed from the South, the Florida Gators, the number 1 seed in the South, and also happens to be the number 1 rated team in the country right now, against the ever resilient and surprisingly effective. Number 7, UConn Huskies, coached by Kevin Ollie, coming from the east side of the bracket. And on the other side, number 2, Wisconsin, coming from the west bracket and coming from the Big Ten, against the number 8 seed coming out of the Midwest, which was, in my opinion, the murderer's row of all the brackets, and the young and dumb, University of Kentucky. Absolutely amazing. You got a number 2 versus a number 8, and a number 1 versus a number 7, all played down in Arlington, Texas. The first set of games, the first set of teams I told you about, play the first game at 6:09 down in Arlington, Texas, with a supposedly crowd of about 80,000 people that are going to attend that game because it's in a football stadium. Excuse me. I'm getting Victor's disease. I don't normally do this. Sorry about that. But it should be a very interesting game for the simple fact is the University of Florida is 36-2. One of the two teams that beat the University of Florida happens to be the University of Connecticut. This should be a very interesting game. You know, there's one thing I can tell you people that I haven't a blemish or me, whatever you want to say it. But I haven't watched the games at all. I haven't watched one basketball game. I've heard about them. I've been told that, and I've seen highlights of these games, but I haven't watched one of these games. Now, I may watch the championship game. But, and I've told my friends, and I've told people that on various programs, and also this past Thursday I've said it, this past Friday, this past yesterday I've said it, last week I've said it over and over again, and I'll reiterate it right now. It's not that I don't like basketball. Is that I can't really sit down like I can with baseball, like I can with football, and watch a basketball game. I get bored very quickly watching basketball versus watching, I know, baseball, like watching a flower bloom. I understand that. But I get more enjoyment out of watching a football game or a baseball game than I do watching a basketball game. Now, I can watch it, but I get bored very easily watching a basketball game versus watching the other two sports I mentioned. So, out of all these 64 teams, I haven't watched a game, so to speak of. So I can't really give a very good opinion. I can speculate. Let me put it that way. I can't tell you to play one team over another. I can only give you my judgment of who I think will be the final two. Um, maybe I'm remiss because I'm on the show, and I should know more than just I don't watch these games, so I'm just picking out of thin air teams. My bracket was blown up. I've only got one team in the bracket in less than this game. And that's the University of Florida. And I didn't even give University of Florida the saying they could win this. I had Louisville and Florida playing each other, and I had University of Louisville winning it. Well, my bracket's blown up. Looks like garbage. Hot garbage, to be really truthful about it. And I'm on two pools. And believe it or not, out of the one pool that I am with the host of the show, which happens to be Victor, I'm 11th. I'm 11th. And I don't know what to tell you. I thought I could have a better approach to this, but for some reason, it's not. On the other one, I have another bracket that I'm in. Sorry, because I've been distracted. Sorry about that, folks. On another bracket, it's only seven of us in it, and I happen to be on a dead last bottom and really don't have a shot at winning this because, like I said, I picked Louisville to win it. And anybody else who may have picked Louisville, that's above me, probably have more. Well, they have. I don't want to say probably. They do have more points, and I'm stuck on dead last. I have no shot of winning this. Let me put it that way. But regardless of that, this is how I see it, and I'm going to give my opinion on this. For what it's worth. For what it's worth. With the first game, the University of Florida versus the seventh-seeded University of Connecticut, Billy Donovan coaching Florida, Kevin Ali coaching, who's a former player, both of them are former players, but Ali is a former player of Connecticut. I like the University of Florida. I think they play better defense, and I think the run of UConn. I know people have underestimated, and I certainly fall right into that category. But they haven't been rated the number one team in the country for nothing. Not to discount the win that UConn, which was the last second shot that UConn won. Not to discount that, but I think the University of Florida has been here before, have been in this situation as being in the Final Four before, especially with a seasoned coach like Billy Donovan, who has been here and also attained a championship. I like the University of Florida. I got a caller coming in here, and I think I do know who this guy is. Welcome, Macal. How you doing, my man?
All right, sir. How are you today?
All right.
What's going on?
I happen to be running solo here, and
this show is going to be the bomb.
What? Well, let me put it this way. I'm running about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to supposed to be calling. And I don't know if you know this guy, but hopefully you do. Daryl Too Sweet Coley.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I have this. Okay. So I'm going to give him a call in about 15 minutes, and so hopefully we can talk some boxing and the state of boxing and what's he doing and get some feedback on how he likes the direction of boxing is going. Anyway, right now we're talking about the Final Four. And I happen to be talking about the University of Connecticut versus the University of Florida in the first game. And I just picked the University of Florida because I think they play better defense and a more seasoned coach with a coach that's got a lot more experience in this situation and Billy Donovan versus Kevin Ali, which I think this is – well, I know it is his first – dance in the Final Four.
Right.
Since I got you on the air right now, and for folks, I gotta put this plug in. Mikhail is calling on the FantasySportsBookCasino.com hotline where winners win and players play. Your thoughts on Florida versus Connecticut?
I really like Connecticut. I like Kevin Ollie. I remember him back in the day when he used to play with Durkman. You see him on different teams or whatever. He's a good dude, stand-up dude. Very, very impressive man. But I'm going to have to go with Flo Rida. Ready. They ready. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll wait for you to throw the other game up. But there's a certain two teams I want to see play. Or this thing ain't going to be right.
Okay. Well, like I said, I already had picked Florida. And you know, these four teams haven't gotten here by chance, so it wouldn't surprise me if it went the other way. But I would have to go with the team that's rated number one in the country, and that hasn't wavered. And I think they're going to get another Billy Donovan, meaning going to get another shot at a world championship, an NCAA basketball championship. All right, that's the early game, playing a little after 6 o'clock, or starting after a little 6 o'clock. The late game, which is around 9 o'clock, it's going to start, maybe later, depending on how the first game goes. The number two out of the West bracket versus the number eight out of the Midwest bracket, meaning number two, Wisconsin, against the number eight, University of Kentucky. Now, I imagine that you want – you'll tell me, but I imagine the two teams that you want to finally play each other. But the young upstarts, now – all season, these guys have been up and down. Calipari says these guys don't know how to play as a team. I don't know if the light switch clicked on. I don't know if it took the NCAA tournament for these guys to get their act together. But I think they were playing a lot better near the end of the season. And I think they went into a little winning streak with a little hiccup of getting beat by Florida, because Florida, I think, beat them by a point or so. In their conference championship, I think in this game they got a bunch of youthful guys on there. They got a bunch of young guns on that Calipari team of University of Kentucky against Wisconsin, and a guy called Chiminski, I think his name is. They on the Wisconsin. This is going to be a tough game. I know Wisconsin's probably going to try to get physical because that's usually what a Big Ten team, how they play. But you know what? I think these guys are really feeling themselves, and they haven't even peaked and gotten the best out of them each other. Not even in this game, and I think these guys have a lot of upside. Discounting this season, they got tremendous upsides because they got a hell of a lot of talent. I forget exactly how many McDonald All-Americans they have on this team, but this team is stacked as in the years that Calipari's been coaching. He's been stacking up these players consistently year after year. I'd have to go with the University of Kentucky over Wisconsin, with Kentucky meeting Florida once again, I think for the fourth time this season. Talk to me, Mikal. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I want to see Kentucky versus Florida. That's what I want to see. And this game, by no means, is not going to be no cakewalk. But I am picking Kentucky to win this game. I think them boys is going to start peaking soon. And I got a sneaky suspicion that they're going to be on some serious get back. If they can get past this team, if they can get past Wisconsin. And like I said, I'm not looking over this. It's not. I'm just saying. Those boys are really talented. Every time they go down the hoop, you be like, you watch them play and you watch them take a shot. You be like, man, that's a break, and they go in. You know, and they do like these little silly little acrobatic looks. You be like, oh, break? No, it go right in. I'm like, these dudes is for real. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with them. And I definitely want to see Kentucky and Florida. I really want to see that. I really, really, really want to see that.
I do, too. I had talked earlier in the show before you hopped on that. You know, I like the game of basketball. I just have a hard time of late. Over the last few years of watching any type of the game of basketball, whether it's college or pros, seems like my attention span doesn't last watching basketball. I think I had alluded to this before on Thursday. I just don't have an affinity of being able to watch it. So I haven't. The reason I'm saying this is because I haven't watched any of these games. I have no clue of what how these teams play. I'm just going on what I've seen in highlights, like on ESPN or Fox One or whatever, and just getting a analysis from the guys who have watched the game and give a after game synopsis of it. So. But I know Calipari is a hell of a coach. I know Billy Donovan is a hell of a coach. And I'm not discounting UConn's coach or Wisconsin's coach. But those two teams seem like they have the most talent. They have the most talent and have the two coaches that have been here before and know what it's all about. And I would say they've seen everything, but they've seen a lot to be able to treat this game in a normal state versus a Kevin Ali who's been there. This is his first time. Or, and I can't for the life of me not remember the guy who coaches Wisconsin, but or the Wisconsin, because I can't remember the last time, if ever, Wisconsin's been to the Final Four. So these guys Billy Donovan, and John Calipari have been battle-tested in these type of games. So I'm thinking that because they're battle-tested with the kind of talent, and they seem like they're the better choice to meet each other in the final game on Monday down in Arlington, Texas. So, and now let me put it this way. Okay, you and I both pick Florida and UConn to meet each other in Arlington. Okay, who wins?
Oh. You ain't right, Slim. You is not right.
You put yourself there.
Yeah, I know. I want to see the game, man. That's the reason why I want to see the game, because them youngins in Kentucky is about to start. They about to start peaking. They really about to start peaking. But Flo Rida has been strong all year. They have always found a way, you know. Oh man! I'm reluctantly going with Flo Rida. Reluctantly.
Okay. Let me see the last time, and I'm looking up. Come on, don't do this to me. Let me see. He played Kentucky. Why is it doing to me? Hold on there. They played Kentucky in let me see here. I'm looking at when they played Kentucky. They played Kentucky in February. And
yep.
They won. They beat them by 10. They played Kentucky in March. And they beat them by 19. They played Kentucky. They played Kentucky two times in March, and the last time they played Kentucky was for the conference championship, and they beat them by a point.
Yeah,
wow.
Man.
Still
tough. They're still tough, man. They done beat them, but I don't know, man. I'm taking them, but reluctantly. Hella reluctantly, man.
All right, let me see. Let me look at Kentucky for a minute here and see, because I want what I they the University of Florida hasn't lost in quite a while, and right now. Kentucky is on a four-game winning streak, and before they lost to Florida, they were on a two-game winning streak. So, I'm saying that the 28-10, well, you know what? I'm going for the upset here. I'm going for the upset. If the University of Kentucky and Florida meet, I'm going for the University of Kentucky. I like John Calipari as a coach. I'm thinking these guys are really feeling themselves a lot, have grown up a lot over this past season, and especially late in the season when it counts. And they know what they're if they happen to meet Florida, which is a conference rival, they know what they're all about. I'm going on a team that is on the rise in confidence level and being able to play better late in the season versus a team that I understand they're consistent. I understand that they have been consistent since the two hiccups earlier in the season. But I think there's more upside in the young boys than there is in Florida. I think Florida has, I wouldn't say peaked, but I think the ability of these guys, the young guys, it says something about what they can do in big situations. So I think I'm going for the upset. I can't believe that the University of Kentucky, even though they got beat three times and twice by double digits against Florida, that they're going to get beat again. So if it boils down to Florida meeting Kentucky, I think Kentucky wins it. If it, for some reason, Kevin Ollie, and that's the last time Florida lost, was against Florida, was against Connecticut, if Kevin Ollie and his team can happen to pull it out and meet Kentucky, I don't think that's going to be a good matchup for University of Kentucky. If it's the other way around, where Connecticut meets Wisconsin, then that to me is a toss-up game, and wow, two coaches that never been to the big dance. I would probably go with Wisconsin, but if UConn, let me put it this way, one way or the other, if UConn, in my opinion, gets to be in the championship game, I think they take it all, regardless of who comes out in the other side of that matchup between Florida and Connecticut. I think they take it all. That's how I'm thinking. So, all right, you know, let me try to make a call here and see if I can pick up Daryl Too Sweet Coley. And see if we can find out what he's up to and how things going. I also want to talk to him about his fight with Oscar De La Hoya and the politics into boxing. So if you possibly get some questions that you want to ask Daryl, then we can do that too. Let me try to give him a call now and see if I can get him on the line. We're attempting to call Daryl Too Sweet Coley and see if we can get him online for some talk on boxing. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's try this number. I have another number to call him at. Maybe this one will work. If not, then we'll just continue talking as we are right now. How's the weather down there, my man?
It's pretty good today, man. It's pretty nice today. No clouds. Can actually breathe in some good air. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Hello. We are not available now. Please leave your...
Okay. That was a failed attempt. Okay. Not a problem. Anyway, all right.
Do you know how to do it in the green room?
In the green room, no.
Never mind. Go ahead. You got it.
Okay. I want to talk about this guy. Where the heck is he at? He's a boxer, and oh my God, what the heck? I had his name. Kid Chocolate.
Kid Chocolate, yeah.
Talk to me about Kid Chocolate. What can you tell me about Kid Chocolate?
He's fairly new on the scene. I haven't seen him box yet. I had notes to, to catch up with him, watch him fight. First time I really saw him was I'm trying to think of which. It was a sports awards show that I saw him on. He had on like the most awful outfit. I mean, top or whatever. And I know that sounds real feminine, but I'm telling you, Slim, that joint just looked crazy. And I was just like, who is this dude? And that's when his name came down at the bottom. And they showed a couple clips of him fighting or whatever. So I don't know too much about him. I know he just won a title. When he won his title, he was very emotional about it. And, they seem to be working with him, building him up. So I haven't checked him out yet.
All right. Supposedly, he's supposed to be he's a middleweight titleist.
Right.
And he's supposed to be making a title defense on April 19th against what the heck is this guy's name? Lucas Konecki of the Czech Republic at the DC Armory in I guess you know where that is.
Yeah. It's right beside the RFK.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
Yep. Right beside RFK. Yep. But I heard about that fight. I don't know if I'm gonna check it out though, but like I said, he just got that title, but it's only really one person running the middleweight. A couple of them are running the middleweight division now. Andre Ward, he at the top. Then you got Gennady Golovkin. So everybody want to fight Andre Ward, and don't nobody want to fight Gennady, GGG, because he is a knockout artist.
Mm-hmm.
This youngin' is pretty new to the scene, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll check him out.
All right. What do you think about? I don't know if we talked about this or not. And Adrian Broner is to face Molina on the Floyd Mayweather fight card.
Yeah, he supposed to be fighting on the card. Yeah, that was to give him a little. That was to give him a little something. Cause they're all under Al Haymon. They're all
right.
Under Al Haymon. That is the only reason why the fight was able to be made anyway, because every one of those fighters are under the direction of Al Haymon. Even the boy that's fighting Mayweather, Medina is. Mayweather was made by Al Haymon and Adrian Broner. That's why, like, when he was putting out the poll, I was like, man, won't he stop playing? Everybody, we know what you about to do. We know what y'all about to do because it's more money. All the money stay in house.
All right. The
money stay in house. I don't know if Amir Khan is up under Al Haymon or not. I'm not sure about that. But I know Medina is. I know he is. So, I just think that's a little pacifier for him or whatever. Actually, I think it's a better fight for Mayweather to fight Medina. It really is. Because honestly, I really don't see anybody else that'll make it a good, make it a good showing for Mayweather. I mean, because Medina's won his last four fights, and he beat the crap out of Broner. He really did. But Broner had no business losing that fight. He fought the wrong fight with that dude. He really did. He really did. But, you know, Mayweather ain't going to fight that way. So, you know.
Well, Amir Khan and Luis Collazo are supposed to also fight on that fight a 12-round bout on that undercard. Supposedly, Khan and Collazo have made it known that they want a shot at the winner between the fight of Mayweather and Medina. I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, what's your thoughts on one of those two guys? If in all likely purposes, now Marcos Medina is going against Mayweather, and like quite as everybody knows, he's undefeated. But Medina ain't no joke. So Mayweather. I'm going to give you two different scenarios, a few scenarios. Mayweather gets past Medina, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And between whoever wins between the fight of Khan and Collazo, doesn't make a difference. What's the better draw, Mayweather against Khan or Mayweather against Collazo? And then I'm going to give you this next one. For some godforsaken reason, Mayweather has a bad showing in the fight, and Medina pulls it out.
Mm.
Who's the better draw with Medina against Khan or Medina against Collazo? I gave you two different, several different scenarios.
Let me answer the second one.
Mm-hmm.
A rematch would be better. Because everybody will be watching that. They'd be like, oh, okay, I slept on this fight, so I'm going to watch the rematch. No, they're going to do a rematch before any of them dudes get a shot.
Okay.
It'll be a rematch almost immediately. You know that. But Mayweather, I don't know. I mean, it really wouldn't matter. I would guess go with Amir Khan. Simply because he got a better name, but Lazo ain't no joke. He nice, but I don't know if he has a good following or not for Mayweather and them to take advantage of like Amir Khan. But I don't think he's gonna fight either one of them next either. Anyway, because you know he's proven he gonna do it the way he want to do it, how he want to do it, and when he want to do it. So. I don't know.
He's only got a few more fights left before he's out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that Pacquiao fight don't get on. I wouldn't be surprised now. Because you got what's his name? Oscar De La Hoya. You got him cozying up to Bob Arum now. And the only person that's kind of like the odd man out is the president. What is his name? Eric Schaefer.
Richard Schaefer.
Yeah, Richard Schaefer. He's the only one.
Yes.
He's the odd man out because
right.
he really does not like Bob Arum, and he really does not want to see that fight go down at all costs. So he's the only one that's, you know, outward and vocal with it. While on the other hand, you got Oscar cozying up to Richard. He's cozying up to him, sending out real good tweets, you know, at Christmas and the beginning of the year. And before all this, he kind of was quiet, you know what I mean? Really, you know, didn't want anything to do with Bob Arum, kind of
mm-hmm.
let Richard Schaefer just go, you know, go on about it the way he had been going on about it. But there's an opening. That's all I'm trying to say. There's an opening there. It might happen.
Okay. This Pacquiao, when is this thing supposed to take place?
It takes place
next week. We had talked about this on Thursday, that the Pacquiao-Bradley rematch is taking place not 2 years to the date, but almost 2 years. And I can't believe it's been that long. Wow. It's been that long. I'm surprised that it didn't happen sooner. Wow. It's been 2 years. Wow. June of 2012, when that crazy scoring came out there, and Pacquiao lost, and now the rematch is scheduled on HBO pay-per-view in Las Vegas as usual, the MGM Grand as usual. A week from today, week from tonight. Your thoughts, Pacquiao Bradley? You think Manny Pacquiao, supposedly his last fight was a rejuvenation of his boxing skills? You think he's going to leave no doubt in this fight against Timothy Bradley and not let the judges take it away from him like they did last time? Talk to me.
I do not like. Let me say this straight out. I do not like Timothy Bradley. I don't.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I don't hate him. I just don't like him.
Your reasons.
He like an old piece of paper, man. He just there. I mean, his style is like, I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? He don't look like he got any power. He don't look like he boxing. The last, his two most significant fights, he damn near lost. And for real, up against that Russian beat his ass. He had no business winning that fight. That dude was knocked out on his feet. Yeah, it showed hot and all, but I didn't feel the Rocky music didn't come on while he was, in my head while I was watching that fight. I was watching that joint like, dang, son, one more punch. Just one more punch. This dude is done. Won't the ref stop this fight? This dude is knocked out on his feet.
Wow.
I am not impressed with him. I really see what Bob Arum is doing with him and Pacquiao and stuff like that. Doing a little three-card Monty with it. You know, right now, Bradley is the number three fighter on the planet. He's number three pound for pound. You got one Mayweather. You got two Andre Ward, and you got three Timothy Bradley. So the natural thing, if you're looking at it as a boxing fan, you would want to see Mayweather versus either Pacquiao or Bradley.
Right.
You know, and both of them are in Arum stable. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at it like that. And, you know, he looks very much propped up. He looks very much propped up. I ain't taking nothing away from the man. I think he worked hard or whatever. I'm not saying he didn't. But I just don't see it. I don't see the skill. I don't see the persona. I don't see nothing. Absolutely nothing. All I see is like a corporate shield. For real. I really don't like him. Pacquiao, I love watching Pacquiao fight. I really do. Because he just straight up with it. But he going to have a problem going at Timothy Bradley, because Bradley can box. And that has been the argument, you know, from the get-go. You know, Pacquiao has problems with people that can really box. And this youngin' can halfway box. You know what I'm saying? He can halfway box. So he gonna pose some problems for him. He gonna pose a whole lot of problems for him. Pacquiao don't have no choice but to leave no doubt and put this youngin' out. He ain't got no choice. He got to knock this dude out and knock him out convincingly. Or the whole thing is it's just a paper grab. For real. or Bob Arum playing three card Monty with his top guys trying to bait Mayweather into fighting one. You know what I'm saying? So I that's all I got on that.
Well, let me ask you. I got several questions from what you said. Now you're alluding to that the fact is the last time these two guys met, this was like pre-planned, and to get a rematch. Now my question is this: do you think that Bradley, because of the controversy and a lot of people think he lost that fight, and the two judges that judged that fight are no longer are judging, has a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove and wants to win this fight convincingly. And then conversely, Pacquiao on the other end, because of the same circumstances about the judging, and he's the one that lost it almost 2 years ago. And like I said, got a point to prove, and is out to reclaim his title. Now, what happens if Pacquiao wins this? We're going to have a Pacquiao-Bradley 3? Or is the bad blood between the two camps of Mayweather and the Arum camps are going to finally solve the differences, whatever they may be, and get what people have been looking for a few years now, Pacquiao? Or if Bradley, for some chance, happens to win against Pacquiao, why hasn't Mayweather reached out and say, give me Bradley? Talk to me.
Mayweather's not going to reach out and give him Bradley because he's under Bob Arum. And he probably really don't even see no value in fighting Timothy Bradley. Because Timothy Bradley is not a draw. Nobody's going to see. If Timothy Bradley walked through D.C. right now, nobody would know who he is. If he walked down your street, you wouldn't even know who he is. You probably think he's a garbage man, son. Nah. So, no. That's why that's not going to happen. I wasn't alluding that they set up a rematch. What I was saying is Bob Arum is kind of playing a three-card Monty with these dudes, shuffling them back and forth. I think the first fight was to establish Timothy Bradley. I don't think he had it in mind to, you know, coordinate a rematch fight and all that kind of carrying on. You know, if it did, good. You know, it makes him more money. What I'm thinking is, like I said, he's doing a three-card money with, you know, trying to shuffle who's number one to try to put it up in, you know, Mayweather and them camp face. Okay, Bradley's my guy over here. You know what I'm saying? And I got Pacquiao, too, and whatnot, blah, 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 shipping back and forth. For real, Mayweather is boxed in. If you look at it, straight up, he boxed in. But he don't have to take them fights. He can fight who he want to fight, and really, I think Medina's a better fight than fighting Bradley or Pacquiao right now, because he's younger, he's a little bit more dangerous. So was Canelo, but everybody want to see Pacquiao. So, you know, there's that. But Pacquiao has got, like, I go back to what I said. Pacquiao's got to win this fight. He's got to win this fight. He's got to win it, and he's got to win it convincingly. If he even wants to be able to stand up on the podium and call out Mayweather, you know what I mean? Because this dude done had a rough 2 or 3 years. And let's just put it out there. Ever since the fight between him and Mayweather didn't go down, he's been having it rough. He done got knocked out. He done got beat. You know what I'm saying? And then that last fight he fought, that ain't impressed me. That was like a big human punching bag. You know what I mean? That was like a sparring match. But, you know, I really want to see Pacquiao fight Mayweather. You know, if they could get this worked out, you know, good. Great. I would love to see it because he's going to get beat anyway. But the thing with this fight, if he lose this fight, man, he can just hang it up. He can just go on back to the Philippines and chill out, man. He can just hang it up. And, you know, Timothy Bradley, he ain't getting no shot. I don't think he'll ever get a shot. I really don't. Because he don't have a following. It's no money there. Nobody would be interested in seeing Mayweather fight him. They wouldn't.
All right. Including the fight that's going to take place on May 3rd, Floyd Mayweather, and I'm just checking it now. He's got four fights left. So after he fights Marcos Medina, he's got three fights left before he says bye-bye to the boxing world. So his modus operandi right now is he usually fights on near Cinco de Mayo. He's not fighting. Yeah. He's fighting a couple of days before it. And then his next fight is usually, I think, in September, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that is on a Mexican holiday, too, if I'm not mistaken, in September. So that means Floyd, who just recently turned 37, has got three more fights left. Is he going to fight twice more and then end his career next year with his third flight around his birthday, or is he going to carry this into 2016? Because what he's been doing right now, he's been fighting twice a year. Twice a year would carry his last fight into 2016, where he would be 39 years old. 49-0. And will tie with the legendary mark of Rocky Marciano.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to do that, or one of these years he's going to do a triple and end his career next year?
It's hard to say, man. It's really hard to say, man. Really hard to say. I would like to think that he's going, you know, ride off in the sunset. But, you know, when you're great at something and you've been doing it ever since you was like 9 or 10 years old, and this all you mm-hmm. know, it's hard to let that go, man. So I really don't think he's going to go anywhere. He might sit down for a couple years and then come back. Maybe a year and come back. You never know. You never
well,
know with Floyd. He's very unpredictable.
Well, I have a list here that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight possibilities that I'm seeing here right now. We've talked about a few of them. One of them being Amir Khan, who, like we know, is going to fight Luis Collazo. On the same fight card. The other one being Manny Pacquiao. We talked about him already. But the other five guys are pretty interesting. And he's fought one of these guys before, at least one of these guys before. Canelo Alvarez. You think he? What's your thoughts on him doing a returning engagement with Canelo Alvarez?
That wouldn't benefit Alvarez. It'd be like, why? Because Youngin got schooled. I mean, it was so bad. That was just ridiculous how he got schooled. Nah, I don't see how that would be beneficial to Alvarez.
Okay.
I think they're trying to get back to branding him. You know, that last fight that he just fought with Angulo.
Angulo, yes.
Yeah, Angulo. You notice his name was at the top. You know, Canelo versus Angulo. So I think they're back to branding him. I think that's, you know, I think that's Oscar's boy. So Oscar gonna try to, you know, milk that cow for as long as and he's young too. So I think Oscar's gonna try to milk that cow for as long as he possibly can. I don't see how that would be beneficial to him. Then for Mayweather on that, he would catch a lot of criticism for that. I don't think he wants to go back there. He already proved his point with him.
Okay. How about and this guy's got a tune-up with Mauricio Herrera this weekend. He's the undisputed junior welterweight champ, and he's rising up the ladder. I think he's managed by his dad, and he said he would like to move up. He'd be ready to move up to 147, 27-0 with 16 knockouts. I'm talking about Danny Garcia.
That would be a good fight. That would be a really good fight. That would be a good fight. But I don't think Danny's ready for that, but it would be a good turnout. It definitely would make some good money. Between Philly and New York. I don't know if Philly and New York would fly out to Vegas, but they would definitely tune in, because that's where he's strong at, especially in Philly.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's reeking.
Yes. Yes, I know that. Yes. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this guy? And excuse me, but I'm not familiar with this. Two of the next three guys.
Okay.
He's 22-0. He's got 20 knockouts, supposedly a rising puncher at welterweight. And I think he's headed in April to return on Showtime. He's an exciting, likable fighter with good power and engaging personality. Someone with his KO ratio, like I said, he's got 20 knockouts and 20 fights. And youth could be easily promoted as an actual young lion looking to knock off the old lion and take over the welterweight pride. But Keith Thurman,
he's a middleweight, isn't he?
He's a welterweight.
He's a welterweight? I thought he was a middleweight.
And it says he's a rising puncher at welterweight, so I'm just going by what I'm seeing here. Let me look at another.
I think that's incorrect, because I'm pretty sure he's a middleweight. Little light-skinned dude with the dreadlocks. Yeah, I mean, not dreadlocks, with the braid. Yeah, I watched him a couple times.
He's a welterweight.
Yeah. He is?
He is a welterweight. Yes, he is. I'm looking at him. He's considered one of the best prospects in the welterweight division. He's a welterweight.
Thurman. Oh, man. I would have swore up and down he's a middleweight. But, yeah, he got some puncher power. He got some good puncher power. His boxing skills is a little suspect. You know what I mean?
Meaning he's a little inexperienced? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he's much of a slugger. I don't know if Mayweather the Mayweather camp would be interested in fighting him, because he doesn't have a big following. He got a nice size following, but he doesn't have a big one. And plus, I think I've seen him on HBO, so that would be a problem. That would be a problem.
And your reason is?
Mayweather and them is on Showtime.
Showtime, yeah. But supposedly, and that's why I premised that, he appears headed for an April return on Showtime. So he's apparently been on Showtime before, and he's headed back to Showtime. So
Okay, so I'm incorrect. I didn't see him on HBO. I saw him on Showtime. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, that might work. They could, you know, on the paperwork side, the business side, it seemed like they could probably make that fight happen. But like I said, he don't have a big enough. I don't think he got a big enough following for to even pique Mayweather and them interest. And then all that stuff. It seems like when you look at these fighters and you stack them up, the Mayweather is like taking candy from them. Because I watch mm-hmm. dude, you know what I'm saying? And I like him. I do. I really like watching him fight. But he do too much of that leaning on, holding, and you know, slugger style, man. And Mayweather would just eat him up. That's just too easy for him. That's just too easy. I didn't see him utilize his jab too much. I think his last fight he was using his jab a lot better, but it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about this guy? I'm not too sure about that. Like I said, Keith Thurman was one of them I'm not familiar with, and this is the other guy I'm not familiar with. 23-0-1 with 14 knockouts. He put himself in a possible position as a future Mayweather foe when he lifted the IBF welterweight title from Devin Alexander in December 2013, a fight that was...
Yeah, he knocked his ass out.
As mentioned before, originally supposed to go Amir Khan, Sean Porter still has to make a bigger name for himself probably, but he's no less a name right now than Roberto Guerrero was. Possible Porter-Thurman clash in the fairly near future could set up a Mayweather opponent. Talk to me about Sean Porter.
I watched that fight with him and Devin Alexander. He beat the brakes off that dude.
Okay.
He beat the brakes off that dude. Calling him, saying that if him and Thurman got into a fight, you know, that would, you know, be a calling card. That would be a bit of a stretch. Because neither one of them got good following. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard sell for that. You know, it's going to be a real hard sell. Because, you know, you see the blueprint. I see it. I don't know why anybody else can't see it. You need to be Latino, son, preferably from Mexico. But if you're not from Mexico, we can work with you. You know what I'm saying? We can work
right.
with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But from Mexico, so I can have you ready to get knocked out on Cinco de Mayo. That's been the blueprint. I'm not saying that he, you know, dodging the brothers or whatever, but it's like these dudes ain't got no following. These dudes
right.
ain't got no following.
Mm-hmm.
They got the titles. They done had the fights or whatever, but it's like they waiting for Mayweather to bring them the money, and it's like that's not kind of how it works. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
all right. His next two, one's a desperation move and one I kind of doubt it's ever going to happen, but it could. First one is a potential desperation option if people start losing, if Floyd really needs an opponent. Golden Boy does have a boxer who's 33-5. He's only got 7 knockouts in-house. And he has a fan following and is a known fighter. A lot would have to go wrong for Mayweather and Magnani to become a possibility. But well, a lot could go wrong. Things happen fast in boxing. Paulie would be a tough sell because he has no power. Especially if he's 33-5 and he only has 7 KOs, and nobody's going to think that he can outbox Floyd. Who would buy this fight? And what do you think about
What's
Paulie?
His name?
Paulie Magnani? Nagy?
Oh, Paulie Malignaggi?
Yeah, Malignaggi, yes.
Paulie Malignaggi. You know, you should know him. He's from New York.
Yeah, but I don't want to know him because he doesn't impress me. Let me put it that way. I think I even answered my own question, but I want your opinion.
He beat Zab Judah.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, Zab Judah. Come on. You and I both know Zab Judah is questionable in the heart department.
They fought in Brooklyn, and it was a big to-do. It was a big to-do. That was just last year.
It was a good fight. Great white hype. You know what that's all about. So, come on.
Yeah.
Zab Judah?
Yeah.
Zab Judah was trying to establish himself again, so it was like a desperation move for him. But eventually, Judah's time has come and gone. Plain and simple, in my opinion. So, and that was quite obvious in that fight. And this last bit, which I've said this could happen for the last year or so, but there's a lot of love between these two fighters. But Floyd isn't shy to criticize. Floyd isn't shy to criticize Adrian Broner openly in press and pointing out things he should be doing differently. Who knows in the next whatever amount of time, the next year or so, that the relationship could sour. But there's entirely possible, in your opinion, if Adrian Broner, who's 27-1 with 22 knockouts, would prove himself worthy to jump in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, and I'm thinking people would really buy that fight because of the relationship these two guys supposedly have with each other, and the fact is that Broner takes his braggadocio one step further than Floyd does, and a lot of people are looking for him to, besides what happened to him against Medina, to have it happen again against Broner, to see this guy go bye-bye. What do you think?
I think that would be a good fight. Mm-hmm. I really think it would be a good fight. Broner would really get schooled. Because, I mean, the only thing that he really patterned after Mayweather, and he do a real terrible job of it, is the shoulder roll, you know. And then, you know, like you said, some of that braggadocio. But Mayweather would clean his clock. He would school him. He would really school him. Because Youngin gets too cocky in the ring. He gets really cocky in the ring. And if you notice, for as cocky as Mayweather is, he's never cocky in the ring. All business. Every fight, he's never cocky in the ring. He's cocky after the fight. You know what I mean? He might talk a little trash during the joint, but it's not like. You would never see him have an approach a fight totally wrong the way that dude did. There was no, it was absolutely no reason for him to lose that fight to Medina. He had no business fighting that fight, but you know what? He got his ass whooped. So, you know, to each his own, and everybody got to learn. And I hope he got a good lesson from that
Medina game. Well, let me ask you something. And the saying goes that you always confront a bully, and the classic look is that a bully will only back down once he's confronted and gets smacked in the face. Your assessment of when he fought Medina was, and this is what I was seeing when I watched portions of the fight, is that when he got hit with a solid shot, you could see the fear in his eyes, like, now what do I do? Because he didn't have the upper hand, and this guy wasn't intimidated by his braggadocio or his boxing skills.
Or his power. Yeah, that young man was just taking his punches. He was just taking his punches. And by the end of the fight, he was fighting the way he was supposed to be fighting. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you were supposed to fight like that the whole fight. That's why I was blown with the joint. That's why I was like, Slim, what is you doing? He deserved to get that ass whooped. He deserved it. Because he should have fought the last two rounds, from round 11 to round 12, he was fighting the way he was supposed to be fighting. Had he fought that way the entire fight, he wouldn't have got dropped. You know what I'm saying? And that dude would have never caught him with them shots that he caught him with. Never. He never should have caught. He's much more faster. He's a better athlete. And you're right. I mean, he just kept. I had no words for what I saw there. No words for what I saw. I don't know if I could classify him as a bully. I could just classify him as a cocky clown. You know what I'm saying? They got too happy with it. That's basically where I see him at.
Well, then if the last two rounds he was boxing the way he was supposed to box, you think that was, to me that sounds like he was trying to save face for one and boxing out of desperation because he knew he was so far behind.
Yeah, he was trying to save face. And not only that, he was trying to save face, but he thought that was going to, you know, get him back in and maybe knock him out. But that dude was taking that man punches. He should have known, man. I ain't being racist, but man, you can't just be slugging on them Spanish boys, man. If you gonna put them out, you gotta put them out. And if you can't do it, you better start boxing. Just box. You better box. Just keep tagging them and move. Cause it's not worth it. It ain't worth it. It's not. Because that's what they want you to. That's what they want. They want you to get up in there and trade shots with you. They want to get you up in the clutch. They want all that. Man, it was like he walked right into that. That joint had a similar, not in the boxing style, but the thinking of the Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. Just the thinking, just his thinking. You know what I'm saying? He should have been, his mind should have been straight boxing that dude from the gate. You know, once he figured out, you know, he put it to him a couple times or whatever and seen that the dude ain't stopped coming, that's when he should have just got back to boxing. Just got right back to it. You know what I'm saying? Stick him, move, keep him in front of him, push him, and then tag him. He should have kept doing that. You know what he was doing, man.
All right. Well, I just saw something else on about it. When we talked about one of these guys already, Keith Thurman, who was supposed to get back into the ring April 26th on a fight card, which highlights was supposed to highlight. Let me put it this way: Keith Thurman. They're not fighting each other, but these guys are fighting individual different fights. Lucas Matisse, I guess it is.
Yeah, Matisse.
And Omar Figueroa will be boxing April 26th under Golden Boy Promotions with Chief Executive Richard Schaefer. Let me see now. Thurman is going to be fighting Julio Diaz, and he's defending his interim welterweight belt, and this is going to be on Showtime. It's going to be a triple header. Diaz is, like I said before, Thurman is 22-0 with 20 knockouts. Diaz, who's from California, is 49-1 with 29 knockouts, is a former two-time lightweight title holder who has, quite naturally, they say he's seen better days. He's 34 years old versus Thurman, who is 25 years old. I don't know if you know anything about Luis Diaz. Julio Diaz.
Yeah, I remember Julio Diaz.
Okay. Well, these two are supposed to fight come April 26th on Showtime. Before we go to the other two matchups, give me your thoughts, Thurman versus Diaz.
Well, first of all, where did they dig him up at? Hey, man. I thought that dude was done. He finished. I thought he was just like, you know, and now he just back, and now he a welterweight. I guess he ain't got no choice but to be a welterweight. He can't make that lightweight weight no more. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that. But that's pretty good, though. You 34 and you still made welterweight weight. That's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. He was nice. I mean, he got a little bit of skill, but you know, I think Thurman gonna win. I think Thurman gonna get him. Thurman's gonna get him because Thurman's got too much power for him, and I don't know if he's ready for that welterweight strength. And Thurman got it in abundance. That youngin is powerful. So
okay.
I can't go with Diaz. Can't go with that
stuff. Diaz has, we had already mentioned two of these fighters that possible opponents against Floyd Mayweather, talking about Amir Khan and Sean Porter. Both fighters Diaz has lost against. So, and the last rematch was a 2012 draw against Sean Porter. So I can't recall this guy fighting any time recently. So the next fight is the 31-0 Matete, who's 34-3, 32 knockouts, who's going up against John Molina, who's 31 also, who's 27-3 with 22 knockouts, which is going to be a 12-round fight.
I'm not familiar with Molina at all.
Let me see if I can find anything. No, I can't find anything in Molina. So,
what's his record, 23-1?
Molina's only world title fight came in 2012 when he challenged then-lightweight titleist Antonio DeMarco and got knocked out in 44 seconds.
Yeah, he sounded like a journeyman.
Yeah, more recently he won two fights in a row, including one of the most dramatic comebacks of 2013, trailing by a wide margin on all three scorecards against Mickey Bay. Don't know who Mickey Bay is. In July, Molina rallied for a knockout victory in the final minute of the 10th round, of the 10th and final round. And the last one is the I got somebody on the line here. Maybe it's the – it looks like Daryl Too Sweet Cooley is finally calling in. Hold on. Let me bring him in. Welcome to the FFP show. This is the host, Jerry. Am I talking to Daryl Too Sweet Cooley?
Yes, you are, the one and only.
How you doing there, Daryl? How you been?
I've been good. I've been fine, man. I've been good. How y'all been?
Okay. Wanted to get you on. I know you're born and raised from Gary, Indiana, but you're a native of Washington, D.C. And I saw your video on the Oscar De La Hoya fight. And the politics of the fight game.
Why don't you give me a little background
on that and about the politics of boxing since you're not in the fight game anymore.
Well, the politics is very strong. I think my situation with Oscar De La Hoya, I was the number one mandatory challenger for Oscar, and that was before him had finished Trinidad Fort. The fight was so big, they actually gave me a step-aside fee of $250,000 just to let the fight go through. But my manager never reported that money, so I didn't get any of that money. This is what I want to say. I was supposed to fight for the WBC belt. And because they wanted Oscar to be the WBC champion, they made him a belt called the some other kind of belt. I don't know. But if I would have beat Oscar, they would have rewarded me that belt. But because Oscar won, they actually gave him the WBC. They wanted to make sure that Oscar was the WBC champion. And the politics is very strong in the game. And I think it's not fair because we as fighters, we start as young agents to become the champion of the world. And for them to make a decision on based on who they want to be champion, it's unfair. It's unfair.
Okay. Well, since we're really, really near the end of the show, I'm going to ask you another thing here. What do you think about the state of boxing, especially in the welterweight division?
Well, I think fighters have a little too much say as far as like guys is on the level of Floyd Mayweather. They don't fight who the people that spend the money want to see. You know, they give them the fight they want. I just wish that the best fighters fight each other, so we can have something to talk about 20 to 30 years from now. You know, you're fighting, you're picking your fights because you choose not to challenge yourself like they did back in the day. It just don't make boxing as good as it used to be to me. I don't know what to anybody else. I say that Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather should have been for. There shouldn't be no excuses about anything. The best man wins. And that sets their legacy. You know, this going on maybe 5 or 6 years now that we're talking about that fight and we haven't seen yet because of this, that, and another. I think a real champion does not choose why he don't pick an opponent. A real champion chooses why he will fight him. And I think to prove that he's the best fighter in the world should be anybody's reason to fight anybody. That's what I think.
Well, don't you think, we had alluded to it earlier in the conversation that there's a lot of politics involved in boxing, and that's one of the reasons why the fight you just spoke about hasn't taken place?
Say it one more time.
I said we talked about it earlier in the conversation about the politics of fighting. Don't you think that's what's causing that fight not to take place is the politics in fighting, politics
well,
of boxing?
I'm not going to say politics. I'm going to say Floyd Mayweather is in control of making that fight happen. You know, you don't to fight Daryl Coley, Floyd would not come up with every excuse in the world not to fight me. You know, he wouldn't tell me to take a drug test. It's plenty of fighters. Everybody that fought Floyd didn't take a drug test before Manny Pacquiao came up. And I don't think the commission of boxing will allow Manny Pacquiao to fight anybody on enhancing drugs. You know, I don't think they're going to favor Manny Pacquiao that much to let this man have a cold advantage over somebody and have an opportunity to kill them. You know, I just think, when it comes to politics, I don't think politics has anything to do with that particular fight. I think Floyd Mayweather has everything to do with that particular fight. Everybody, go ahead, say it again.
So you think that, for lack of any better words, do you think Floyd was, in a sense, ducking Manny Pacquiao because of what reason?
The reason is this. Floyd's style may fight. Do I think Pacquiao is a better fighter than Floyd? No. Do I think Manny Pacquiao can beat Floyd? Yeah. And I think Floyd thinks the same thing, meaning if you're going to pay me this much amount of money, I'm going to be the biggest star that boxing ever seen. To fight this guy, the only fight this one guy, I'm going to be bigger than any fighter, even Muhammad Ali, a chance of being bigger than Muhammad. But he make everything in the world not to fight him. And the reason I say that because if it was one legitimate reason, it would be that one reason. I named 15 reasons that he choose not to fight him. You know, then he give him a money split of you know, you don't get no pay-per-view money, which I think Pacquiao, the whole country going to buy the fight because of Pacquiao, not Floyd. Then you come up with, you know, you fight for Bob Arum, and that's a legitimate reason. Now you can hold on to that one reason because,
Okay. Mikhail, you have anything when you want to talk to Daryl about? Hello? Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. My bad.
Okay.
Well, I mean, with all due respect, I truthfully respect Too Sweet because he's from, you know, he there from D.C. You know what I'm saying? And I remember him back in the day, but I totally disagree with him on that. I could see the politics all over that fight. Number one, you got Golden Boy sitting in the middle there, right? And Golden Boy is not needed to make that fight. And that is a problem with Golden Boy. That is a problem with Golden Boy.
Let me say this to you. When Floyd Mayweather fought Oscar De La Hoya, right? Remember Oscar fought Floyd?
Right.
Yeah.
Now Floyd, that's when Floyd started making big money, when he fought Oscar. But to fight Oscar, to give him the opportunity, Oscar had to promote Floyd. Bob Arum is Pacquiao promoter, and Floyd,
right.
And Golden Boy is Floyd Mayweather promoter. Whether Floyd acted as if he's not. He's not. Golden Boy has everything to do with the fight. Now, what will make the product? Now, Floyd Mayweather, Pacquiao. I mean, Floyd Mayweather. Oscar De La Hoya is on Floyd Mayweather's side because that's his promoter. Whether they act like they don't like each other or not. Bob Arum is Pacquiao's promoter. So why wouldn't Oscar De La Hoya would be more favorable for Floyd? Because guess what? He gets to promote his next fight. The only reason that De La Hoya has something to do with it because he's promoting Floyd Mayweather, which y'all don't know that. But, I mean,
Mayweather contracts out to Golden Boy. You know what I'm saying? And with Bob Arum, if a fight was to go down with Bob Arum and, Mayweather and Pacquiao, Bob Arum already has his own promotion. Bob Arum already has, you know, the connections to HBO. So you could just push Golden Boy right out. They would get no money.
You can't push Golden Boy out because in the deal that he signed for Floyd to get the big fight with De La Hoya, when they fought, De La Hoya was the man. It wasn't Floyd. Now, Floyd, to get the fight, he had to sign the deal with Oscar. Now, that means they have to promote a certain amount of fights for Floyd, which he is. Now, Oscar doesn't have anything to do with the fight. Yes, he does. He got everything to do with it because he promotes Floyd Mayweather.
Because Floyd contracts them out to do that work. What I'm saying is, if he contracts them out to do the work, he don't have to do that in the pocket fight. He can just contract Arum out to do it.
When you say contract them out, what are you talking about? I don't understand that.
What I'm saying is now Mayweather is doing has his own promotion joint, but Golden Boy do all the work. Basically, what I'm saying they contract out and do all the work. Yeah.
Let me say this. All these guys get a promotion company behind them. That's for tax purposes. Tell me who Floyd is promoting. Nobody but himself. When you say Floyd Mayweather promotion, tell me one fighter that Floyd Mayweather promoted so far. Nobody but himself.
Nobody but himself.
Well, if his promotion company was so where you think is that, why is Golden Boy a part of his promotion company? Now, Golden Boy, never heard of Floyd Mayweather promotion when Oscar De La Hoya does the promotion because Oscar De La Hoya is doing, he promotes fighters. Floyd Mayweather has that on his belt only for tax purposes. That's it.
Right, but...
And you call
right,
a promotion,
but,
you see all these different promotions, but that's not, they're not a promotion company. That's just for tax purposes. That's just something to say. Now, promotion company promote fighters. You tell me one fighter that Floyd Mayweather promotions that promoted. Nobody.
He don't have to. He got one big fighter. Him. He's the product.
Okay, but guess who? He signed on it. He signed on the Golden Boy because when they made the deal to take the. If you noticed before the fight with Oscar, Mayweather wasn't making that money. Mayweather wasn't making no money like that.
Well, so I got that. I'm with you there. But the part where I'm not with you is they have evolved from there. You know what I mean? Golden Boy and them done made that money three and four times over now. Mayweather been that step back, and they just kind of like do the shell work. They just do all the grunt work.
Well, me or you never seen a contract, but I tell you this, if Mayweather did not sign a contract for Golden Boy wouldn't be nowhere in sight. If he didn't need him, he wouldn't be nowhere in sight. So that's why I definitely know he couldn't have contracted him on because it's a Golden Boy show. And Golden Boy, and Oscar's there every time somebody fights.
He's there every time he fights now because he hires him out to do the work now. But what
but
I'm
listen,
saying to
you, he don't even like Oscar.
No, he don't. But he uses company. It's an advantage for him.
No, listen to what I'm saying. He don't even like Oscar. He's underneath the umbrella of Oscar Golden Boy promotion because he signed with them. And if he didn't sign with them and if he didn't need them, he wouldn't use them. He fights for Oscar. You overlooking that. He fights for Oscar.
He fight for Showtime. He signed with Showtime now. I don't see how he can be signed to Golden Boy and signed to Showtime.
So you're telling me that Showtime is Floyd Mayweather's promotion company? Showtime is a
name. What I'm telling you,
that's not a promotion company.
No, what I'm saying to you is that the Money Team is his own entity as a promotion company, but they don't have the reach, nor do they have the power like Oscar. So he hires them to do the work. But what I'm saying, and I'm also saying that if Pacquiao and Mayweather was to fight, Golden Boy is not needed because he got Bob Arum, and that's why Golden Boy. Schaefer does not want this fight. Oscar just came around. He just started speaking back to Bob Arum, and which pissed Schaefer off. That's all politics right there.
But listen. The politics of having a big fight. Everybody's going to be much more richer than they are. So when you talk about politics and you talk about money, it's two different things. Politics love money, and politics only persuade Boston for them to gain more money. This fight right here is needed, whether it's politics or not. It's needed. I think it's Floyd Mayweather that's making every. And when you tell me that you 15 different excuses not to fight one particular person, it's insane. It's insane. You know, you take a man. To the fact that tell him he got to take a test whenever, randomly. But if you take the test after the fight and you're not on that, you're good. What difference does it make? Or what you did before the fight or prepare yourself for the fight? If you're not on it, or if you're not on no enhanced drugs when you're fighting me, what difference does it make? Like a crackhead. If a crackhead smoked crack 10 years ago, what difference does it make if it's not in the system now? It doesn't make a difference. So why are you putting me through all these hoodoos?
Okay. So, Daryl, tell me what you're up to nowadays, now that you're basically out of boxing.
I'm not really out of boxing. I have eight fighters. I manage eight fighters. Some up-and-comers, I'm managing them. I'm doing a documentary on my life, so I'm on YouTube. You know, you can catch a brief 3 to 4 minutes of what I'm doing on YouTube. You put Daryl Cole in, and it will come up. But I'm just doing a documentary on my life, the experiences I've had around. The guys like Floyd Mayweather, the Roy Joneses, the Bernard Hawkins, the Dana Hoyas. I'm just giving people the insight of my life based on what I've experienced and what it was like when I did certain things in the moment that I was going through it and my training person. I mean, just for me to read back and watch it, it gives me a chill. Like, wow, I remember this like it was yesterday. So I'm enjoying myself right now.
Okay.
I'm just enjoying myself.
First of all, in your documentary, when is it going to come out fully? And you have a time frame of that or no?
No, I don't have a time frame. I'm putting it together. I'm putting the pieces together, and it's coming together pretty fast. So it shouldn't be that long. I should have an outreach on when it should be out, maybe in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
When I know when it'll be out, yeah.
All right. Well, along that line, just tell us about the guys that you are. You got 8 or 9 boxes on you. Tell us about your boxes.
Yeah, well, I got a guy. Like, well, this is the guy. This is my shining light, right? Adam. His name is Vincent. Terrence Vincent. He won a gold medal in the Olympics. Right now he's been off for 4 years, but I'm trying to actually get him back. I think. More than anything, I need to get his confidence back. He lost his last fight, and you know, with a guy like that, he's 17-2. But with a guy like that, he won't admit it. But I just think his confidence isn't there as it was before. And I'm being real with you, and I told him before, you know, you got to trust the media, you got to trust your trainers. It's not about what you think, because you're not running the show. You don't know. We're in positions because we know more than you, and you have to listen and trust your trainers. But Terrence Vincent. He's a great fighter, man. Skill-wise, he got hand speed. He got puncher power. But like I explained to him, you have to listen. That means more to me than any talent that you got. If you don't have the talent to listen, you're not going to become successful. And I explained that to him many times over. So now, and the last time he was in the gym, which was yesterday, he said, man, Darryl, he said, man, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. But I said, it's not what I'm telling you. The only thing I'm going to tell you to do is listen to your trainer. I'm not the trainer. I'm not going to tie your gloves. I'm not going to untie your gloves. I'm going to set the fights up, man, and I'm going to be there to make sure and negotiate for you. That's my job. And your trainers is who you need to listen to. Because once, if this was any of my fighters, if I see that I want to win more than they want to win for themselves, I'm done. You could never, for me as a fighter, if anybody wanted me to win more than I want to win, I shouldn't be in it.
Okay. You want to talk about any of the other fighters that you have under you now or what?
Nah, I'm gonna leave them alone right now. Right now, I just want to focus on Terrence Vincent right now at the time. And when it's time for them to come out, I will give them some shine. But right now, I'm just gonna focus on Terrence Vincent because, you know, right now he's the shining light right now, and they piggybacking off Terrence. It's eight fighters. That they begin it, so they haven't really accomplished anything yet, but they're on their way.
Okay. Well, we're near the end of the show. I really want to thank you for responding to the phone calls and calling us back. I really appreciate that. Tell you what, when your documentary is about to come out, or when it has come out, I want you to come back on the show and talk to us about it, how we can watch it, where is it going to be at, and how we can access it to see what the Darryl Coley story is all about. Is there anything that you want to say to our listeners before we close the show out?
No, I just want to tell everybody, man, that keep listening, keep tuning into this show, man, because, I mean, I really appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to come on here and just give my piece, you know, and y'all welcome me every time I ask to come on the show, or if y'all ask me to come on the show, I'm always going to do it. So this is my favorite show to be on. So everybody, stay tuned. You never know when I pop back on here. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming on, and like I said, we will have you on, and keep in touch with us, and let us know when that documentary comes out, and we'll have you back on here. And we can talk about that. How's that?
Okay, fine. Keep my number. I'm not going to change it. Keep it.
No, I got your number. I got it right in front of me right now. So it's
okay,
close to
okay.
hand. So you take care, all right?
Okay, thanks. All right,
thanks
you
a lot.
All right, bye.
All right, that was Darryl Too Sweet Coley, and he had some thoughts on the state of boxing now, and also talking about his up-and-coming fighters that he has. And also talking about his documentary that's it's coming out in a very short span of time. Mikal.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts, your final thoughts before we get the hell out of here and enjoy the rest of this weekend.
You need to call me off air, dude. You got to call me off air. As soon as you hit
hit end, I am calling you or you call me, please. And, oh, I finally caught up with all of the Game of Thrones. I'm in the middle of season 3 now, so I'm up. I'm up and running away, and I'll be ready for the new Jones to come on. So
this weekend,
you know,
tomorrow,
yep,
I think.
This weekend.
Yep.
This weekend.
So, what are your thoughts on from the beginning up until the last episode?
That joint is all of it. I mean, they got everything. You got sword fighting. You got politics. You got dragons. You got daywalkers. Man,
yep.
What
yep.
more can you ask for in a joint like that?
That's what I've been telling people. It's a highly anticipated show every spring at this time. Highly anticipated ever since it broke the first season.
Man, you got kings, you got queens, you got pimps, you got hoes. You even got a midget on the joint. You even got a midget getting it
yep.
in on that. Man, what?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That joint is nice, man. That joint
yes,
is nice.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. With that being said, I'll give you a ring right after this show, and I want to thank you
for please.
That's not a problem. I want to thank you for joining me, and also, like I said, I want to thank Daryl Too Sweet Coley for calling in and giving his thoughts and things about what's going on with him. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, and you know who will be back. Victor will be back hosting the FSP show. I will also be back with being the co-host and trying to keep Victor in check. With that being said, enjoy. If you're on the East Coast, for the most part, it's one of these great days that we've been longing for, especially on the weekends. Enjoy the rest of your day on today, and hopefully tomorrow is a better day for you. Tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I will be hosting the Master Plan, talking about a little baseball, and talking about also the two Final Four games and the matchup on Monday. With that being said, we are out.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 yeah. other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.